no role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share 4 decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about employee engagement.
It's a pretty good topic for a leadership podcast, so I'm all in.
I think so. I think we can touch on it a little bit. I don't want to get like totally off the rails here, but you know, it seems to fit a little bit.
Sure.
A LinkedIn post that that we kind of both saw a few days ago has kind of like struck a chord with me a little bit, and I've been thinking through this a little bit. This was posted by Ambika Lina Di Maria. She's a person who works for in HR solutions. She says, although many organizations measure employee engagement at least annually, only 8% of HR's time is prioritized for employee engagement and culture because of limited resources. It's important to remember that like organizational culture, everyone has a role to play in engagement. So it's a short post and it makes sense. I would say that 8% is makes sense as an average. I think in a lot of organizations, human resources members spend quite a bit more time than that on employee engagement. But in a lot of organizations, they spend 0% of their time on employee engagement. It's more about they're almost a sub arm of the legal or compliance team, and they act as a partner to leaders in making sure that I's are dotted and T's are crossed in the employee accountability and termination process. They are an advocate for their organization more so than the employees. If you believe that's two different things. I think the role of HR in general is different from one organization to another. And if you want to say that someone's job is employee engagement, the first thing you have to do is define what employee engagement is. Like, what does that actually mean?
I agree. Like, I think definitions are critical in conversations, dialogue like this. I also think that, to your point, you know, you almost have to separate employee engagement and culture, because we want to tie those things together. But obviously, if an HR partner in an organization is spending time with leaders in regards to policies, procedures, follow-up, you know, investigations, conversations, employee behavior, like, of course they are helping to shape culture in whatever that might look like, right? But I think in this context of this post, what's at the heart of the issue here is like, how much time are they getting in HR leaders getting to proactively be involved in the development of the people that work there and the strategies that are utilized to help them, you know, create and curate an environment at work that is positive and, you know, and progressive. Like, I think that to me is kind of what I read between the lines here, which would make sense. I think when resources are trimmed down in a lot of places, you have a lot less people doing things, the tendency is to then like, you have to go and address the things that are the big ticket items or the things that absolutely must be figured out. And then you probably lose an opportunity to really be engaged in the proactive planning more of the time. And then also to your point, like, I've worked for organizations that, you know, for different times of my time there had, you know, HR departments that were a part of the company. Then I had where they third party those HR departments.
Right.
Where now it was like, this person doesn't even work for the company, but they're contracted to really enforce policy and procedure. And they really had no real contact with employees unless it was like an intake call for something. So I think that that's also a big part of this too, is just kind of like, what does that look like from an architecture standpoint when it comes to the HR team? And then as the article kind of states, like, it is everybody's job to be a part of the engagement strategy. But I think that based upon that, you know, that kind of outline of talent and where people are placed and what jobs you have specific to your organization, that's probably going to change. Like, those percentages are going to shift quite a bit based upon who does what job and how these layers come together.
I think if you're in an organization where you have kind of a third-party contractor working in HR, hopefully, and this is I know this isn't the case, you know, ubiquitously, but it is the case in some organizations. When that happens, it's because the organization is aware that there are two sides to an HR role. There is the generalist role, the role that deals with, you know, making sure that you're in compliance and that you know the HR laws and that you know about, you know, benefits and rewards implementation and, you know, all of the things that don't really, it doesn't really hinge upon the relationship with the individual employee. It hinges upon operational excellence and the ability to make sure that your organization holds every employee to the same standard and treats everybody equally. Those are the things that can be outsourced from a paperwork standpoint. And when an organization does that, it's often in order to free up the time of the HR leaders who end up spending a lot of their time in that space, and they need to be spending more time around employee engagement and around employee culture and development and being a sounding board for employees who might have issues. You know, that just having an HR person who is visible and accessible and with whom you have a relationship means that oftentimes issues can be kind of like fires can be extinguished in advance before they become larger issues. Just because a person might feel that they are heard and that they are being listened to and they can, you know, be instructed on how to solve problems or kind of navigate relationships on their own, as opposed to, you know, either leaving the organization or making a bigger deal of it than it needs to be made. And so I do think that is a benefit when a company does that. What it means for those internal HR employees, as far as what their expectations are, that's another thing altogether. Because a lot of those people feel more comfortable in the generalist space than they do in the actual people engagement space and the employee culture space, because it's a little bit less quantifiable. And so if you have people who, where one of them, I know I can speak personally to this, I feel much more comfortable in the employee engagement and culture space than I do in the generalist space. I can do the generalist work, but it's not something that I would find a lot of passion in doing for, you know, 40 hours a week for several years. So it's one of those things where I think, depending on who you are as an HR leader, one of those two things is where you want to spend more of your time. And hopefully you can do that depending on what the priorities of your organization are.
Yeah, I like the fact too, because, you know, in the post that was here on LinkedIn, it was like click, you know, link in the comments to research. And of course, I clicked the link in the comments because I wanted to see the research. And I think that the context here is like, look, almost every organization measures employee engagement. And that's kind of what they say at least once a year.
Right.
Where it's like, how are hopefully people feeling? More. Right, hopefully more, right? But it's like, how are people feeling about an engagement standpoint? So then to the point of, if you have leaders that are associated with the engagement of the team, then how and where they spend their time and how you prioritize what are those things for the organization are critically important and should be discussed. Because again, if you're saying this is a big enough of a priority for us to measure, and we're going to ask people about the engagement and how they feel, and then we have a portion of that responsibility from, let's say, it's an internal HR team, and they're self kind of surveying to say less than 10% of the time that we spend is in that type of space, then there's clearly a lot more dialogue that needs to happen. Now, there are situations from a leadership standpoint where maybe you don't have the four things that they have here on the slide. You know, maybe it says human resources, people managers, senior leadership, and employees. So there's probably situations where the people manager is also a senior leader, or that you maybe have an HR part of the company, but like you only engage with them when it's things around policy or procedure. So when it comes to the engagement element of this, you as the people leader also have to hold that responsibility with your team. So I just think that there's a lot of time, or not a lot of time, there's specific time that has to be spent with any partner who has any part of their job that has to do with the engagement strategy of employees to understand who does what and how much time do we commit and dedicate to making sure that those things are actually happening.
Right. So I think about engagement surveys in general, and they can vary depending on the organization and who's administering them, but they have some common themes. You know, they're questions include things like whether or not you have close relationships with people at work. And a lot of organizations, what they determine that by is, are there people with whom you have a relationship that is not work related. So if one of the two of you were to leave the organization, would you remain friends with this person? Would you go hang out with them still or whatever that looks like? So that's one of them. Do you believe that the coworkers on your team and in your organization do good work? Are they being held accountable to doing good work? Or do you feel like you are the only one putting in effort? Because no one will ever say that they're not committed to doing work, good work. But sometimes they believe their coworkers are not. So is there a sense of fairness and accountability? Like, there's a lot of different, you know, kind of common themes across engagement surveys. But to say that, you know, you could have a company that has a great employee engagement score overall, but that doesn't mean that every little item is doing well. And it becomes incumbent upon leaders to look at wherever the low hanging fruit is and take steps to rectify that and to first find out what it means. So if you're getting low engagement survey scores on, you know, one or two specific items, then that's where you start having conversations with the people in the organization to find out why this might be lower than others. And so when I think that everybody has a role in this, that's where I think it starts. It is look at where engagement is low and what areas. Cause it's not going to be low everywhere. It's going to be low in some places and higher in other places. And you want to know kind of where it is that you need to be spending your time, because if you don't know how whatever that score is breaks down, then you could be spending your time on trying to improve engagement in an area where it doesn't need any improving, where people are kind of already feeling good about things. And so you have to start with figuring out where engagement is low and around what things, and then focusing your time there. But just having the conversations with employees around what it means, like why do you think this score is lower here? Can you think of any examples of why a person might say that this score is lower around this particular item? Those conversations alone have a tendency to raise engagement, because oftentimes when an employee reports low engagement, it's because they don't feel heard. And just having the conversations around what the problems are and digging into it and showing employees that you are committed to making things better, that alone will give you a bump. Now you have to follow through on it. You have to actually do the things that you say you're going to do. But just those conversations alone is a great place to start.
I also think that, like, there tends to be partners, HR partners and those around that that I think want to help. They want to be a bigger part of an engagement element. They want to be utilized as a resource in sometimes more of a proactive way. And if the organization doesn't have like a specific strategy for that or a plan for that, I found myself in the past figuring out creative ways to engage partners that might not be a part of the proactive element. So as an example, I've worked with recruiters in the past, and typically a lot of what they do is either go out there and find talent and, you know, kind of filter that talent into potential opportunities, or they're a part of an interview process. If you have a job that's open, they may be the first ones to make sure that there's a, you know, a consistent first level of interview. They can review resumes. They can make sure that they're pushing forward the highest, you know, caliber of candidate. But I found myself before calling a recruiter and saying, hey, you know, would you mind? I have some pipeline talent, some people that I think, you know, in the near future, could be ready for next. And I would like for them to just have a conversation with you, not an official interview. Maybe you ask them some interview questions. Maybe you provide them with a space where they can ask you questions about, like, what do you look for? What does that look like? What are the types of questions that they may get? And how do you kind of, you know, take those answers and help to assess, you know, the talent that they have? But just including them in those proactive conversations. And for me, that's turned into some great success and some great partnerships. And it's provided an opportunity for partners to be more involved in a proactive approach to building engagement from an employee standpoint. Have you seen anything like that or observed that, or been a part of anything where there's like this kind of almost a bridge or an opportunity for a leader to step forward and pull them along for the journey?
Yeah, kind of. What I'll say is I have seen an evolution in terms of what employees think when they are talking about engagement. And so if you think about what engagement means as a whole, it's only quantifiable in that whatever it is defined by the employee in terms of what they need. But in general, when I think about employee engagement, I think, are employees bought into what your organization does, and are they committed to doing the best work they can in order to help get you there? And showing up to work doesn't mean that. Are employees, I don't want to say going above and beyond, because that's not what it means either. It just means, is the North Star that they kind of look at every day around what is the goal of this organization? What is the goal of my team? How do I play a role in that? I'm committed to doing that well. I know how to do it well, and I have the tools to do it well. If I do all those things, to me, that signifies high engagement. Now, what an employee needs in order to be able to check off all those boxes has absolutely changed over the years. And if you just look at the reasons employees are leaving organizations right now, it is less about the things that they reported 10 or 12 years ago, and more about the new items are things like growth and development versus stagnation, having a person who's committed to helping them get to the next step in their role or accomplish personal and professional goals. Those are things that have really cropped up to be kind of moving up the ladder of importance to employees. And if that doesn't exist, to your specific example, if managers and leaders out there who can look at employees and say, hey, I know that you are more than just a number or what you can do for the organization, but I have to trust that if I give to you what you're looking for from a personal and professional growth and development standpoint, and then just take a step back, that I have to trust that you will deliver what the organization is asking you to deliver. And that kind of, it's almost like a laissez-faire type of leadership, in that you have to trust that it's going to happen. Now, it comes with accountability. You just have to hold people accountable to doing those things. But it's an indirect accountability, at least at first. And it's a trust that if you're doing right by your employees, they're going to do right by you. And it's almost like a prerequisite of doing well, a prerequisite of engaging fully, is the expectation of that trust. And if instead of focusing on telling me what I need to be doing, getting my job done, you're instead focusing on what roadblocks you can remove in order to let me get my job done, and focusing on what you can provide for me to help me grow and develop personally and professionally, and then just trust that it's going to happen, I need to feel that you trust that to happen for me to actually do it. I won't do it just because it's my job. I'll do the minimum if it's my job, but to do what actually it means to be engaged, I need to know that my leaders trust that I will get it done. And that starts with kind of, again, not really harping on it too much at the beginning, and instead just making sure that I have the tools I need, and then getting out of the way and letting me do it. I think that's where a lot of change has happened over the last few years.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
The 1 minute hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 minute hack, here's what I want you to do. If your organization doesn't have an employee engagement survey of some sort, look into getting one. If you're a decision maker, or if you're not, start talking to people who are, and make sure they understand the importance of having something like that done. An ideal time to have it done is twice a year. Once a year minimum, but twice a year is great, so people don't feel kind of overwhelmed with it, doing it all the time. But twice a year accounts for attrition and turnover, and lets you have kind of a rolling thumb on the pulse of what's going on with the organization. If you do already have one in place, you need to look at where the items on that survey are that are not doing well. And the conversations you have with your employees need to start with those particular spaces. Just from a getting to know standpoint, hey, talk to me more about why you think this is low. You're not even asking them to tell you why they scored it low, because you might not even know what individual scores are. But the overall score might be low in a certain area, and you want to know why. And employees will usually help kind of figure out from a they-them standpoint, I don't have any issues myself, but this is why some people might say that it's low. That's what you're looking for, is for people to kind of give you an insight as to why certain things are low, and then focusing your time there, because those little things that you can do to change the way people perceive the organization and the leadership of the organization, those are the things that will get you higher scores on the next employee engagement survey, and more importantly, higher employee engagement.
It's a good call out, because I think sometimes we can get caught in the normalcy of systems that we have that are in place and things like that. And, you know, if you've done, if you've been in leadership roles for a long time, you kind of get your surveys and, you know, you run through them and you kind of work through from an engagement standpoint. So I think really making sure that you have them, And then not only that you have them, but you really dive deep into them, I think is a great call out and work that we should all be doing. And then I also think that it's like, and then bringing others along on that work as well. Like sometimes you have to be the voice and the advocate for bringing people along, especially if, again, there's not a system for that. So if you are the one getting the data, if you've got the surveys, if you're talking with the team, you're having dialogue, what does engagement mean to them? What does it mean to you? How do we want to make sure that we're creating a space that is curating or providing some elements of engagement, but then also like how are you making sure that your partners that you may have access to that may be a part of this work, even if they're not necessarily on the front lines, that they are also a part of it. Sometimes it's bringing them along, making a phone call, saying, "Hey, I'd love to go over this with you. What do you see? Here's what I'm thinking," just to include them a little bit more proactively.
Yeah, remember, employee engagement is a lot like cleaning a house. You know, if your house is messy, you don't clean the house. You pick up one thing and you put it where it goes. And then you dust one table and you clean one lampshade and you go through these things and eventually your house ends up being clean. But nobody cleans a house. This is the exact same thing. When it comes to employee engagement, you don't engage employees better. You solve problems for them. You remove roadblocks for them. You focus on where you believe the engagement is low. And then lo and behold, engagement improves. And it's not something that you ever arrive at. It's a constant process that's always happening because the expectations of employees change and because the actual employees change because of natural turnover and attrition. And so it's not something that is like it's on the business rhythm once a year or twice a year, and then you move on to it till the next survey comes out. It's something you have to be doing every single day so that those muscles are flexing all the time and you know how to do it. You know how to react to things that employees are saying. And you don't ever get into a situation where you're trying to getting to know what people are saying now that the new survey is out. That's the wrong way to do it. And if your survey isn't happening often enough, that's where you'll find yourself.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.